Thank you, Carola, and thank you for inviting me to this conference, Carola and Hanan. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm going to talk about the role of information, freedom of information, in transition to democracy. And I'm going to focus on the case of Egypt. Actually, generally speaking, the role of information in transition to democracy is to empower citizens and to inform public debate and to support accountability. Then these three together are really, it is necessary to have freedom of information so that can be practiced in any society. Freedom of information is a cornerstone to a smooth transition to democracy, and the lack of information has a negative impact on economic, political, and social aspects, and this impact is manifested in through the four factors: human rights, good governance, sustainable development goals — this has been approved by the UN lately — and investment climates and knowledge economy. I'm going to go through these four factors. Of course, human rights, it's very short. We don't have much to say, but of course, freedom of information is a nightmare for any government that it does not respect human rights. This is always the problem if you have freedom of information for those kind of governments. Of course, I'm not talking about Egypt, I'm talking generally speaking. Why are you laughing? But, okay. The second factor is good governance. And actually, good governance requires an environment that is conducive to transparency and accountability. And such environments allows the society to fight corruption and to improve performance. Without this ecosystem, such environment cannot exist. And without the freedom of information, this cannot exist and is likely to generate distrust in institutions and will impede the ability of government to be responsible. In other words, lack of information is a prescription to social tensions and political unrest. And governments who think that hiding information is a safe haven in the short term ignore the implication on the medium and long terms. Governments do not see a win-win relationship in freedom of information. And this is really the case of many countries, including Egypt. The government does not see any win-win relationship. The government are focusing on short-term threats and ignore the implication of the medium and long-term threats. The governments prefer having monopoly of information. And the concept of information for all that was well established at the beginning of this century for most of the developing countries, well, it's better for government to think about information is for the government and not for the public. This is much easier to handle things and to get away with many other problems. The third factor is sustainable development. And as you remember, in the year 2000, the UN issued the concept of Millennium Development Goals, and that was agreed upon that all the nation of the world will focus on the Millennium Development Goals, and they will produce indicators that are reflecting these development goals. And that was for 15 years, that ended this year, and the UN is now advocating for another set of indicators. They use the Sustainable Development Goals, and this is for the next 15 years, then from 2015 to 2030. And for development to be sustainable, it requires comprehensive programs to face challenges such as poverty alleviation, women empowerment, youth participation, better education and health service for all. Inequality and geographic disparity within country requires a more sophisticated statistical system to produce indicator not only on the national level but also on the local level. And this is in the core of the sustainable development, and every country in the world has to produce a yearly report that is describing a number of indicators that is reflecting all those dimensions. And the global development agenda has recently shifted from MDGs to SDGs, SDGs for sustainable development goals, and it is emphasizing on more comprehensive set of goals for 2030 And the agenda includes a large number of indicators that countries need to collect and disseminate in order to report on their achievements. And this is very important for the meeting. This was the goals for 2015, and it has been replaced, those 8 goals, with 17 goals. But the most important one is reduce inequality, and this is really a problem in many countries, including Egypt. It's not only confined also to the developing world, but also to the developed one. And what they call peace and justice. Peace and justice actually include a large number of indicators that are reflecting trust in institutions, anti-corruption, and all the indicators of governance that usually developing countries will not produce in a systematic way. And this will open window for really good governance, for measuring good governance in a very systematic way. And also it will put a challenge on all the statistical offices that are working, because probably those are not the ones who are supposed to collect this data. And you will have data that will be generated by non-state actors, and this will be a shift, paradigm shift in terms of measuring development in the next 15 years. According to UN, there is a data system that should be available and collected and disseminated, and these include people, dignity, prosperity, justice, partnership, and the planet in terms of the environment. And there is, of course, the details for all those kinds of things, but I'm not going to go into details at this point of time. The fourth factor is business climate. And definitely in the case of Egypt and the case of many other developing countries, economic growth is the only way to generate enough jobs and to save the economy. And economic growth cannot be achieved without trust of local and foreigner investors. And trust can be created and maintained throughout stable and transparent macroeconomic policies and throughout accessible, relevant, and timely information related to business development. Then this is a win-win for all the governments. We can handle the issue of freedom of information, providing that it is under the umbrella of business. This is really a win-win, very clear win-win formula. And government should perceive freedom of information as an opportunity to secure growth rather than a threat. Then no problem in this area. And the other area that is also not problematic, the knowledge economy, because it can generate decent jobs for youth, which is a necessity for all developing countries. Just to give you an idea of what's going on in the world, this is the market value of the largest 10 companies in the world. And this is the data of March 2015. As you can see, number one is Apple. Number four is Google, with $346 billion. And you can see after that Microsoft, etc. And this is really where the money and the business is generated in the future. And maybe 5 years ago, nobody had heard about Google or Facebook. Okay? And now Google is $346 billion, and Facebook $184 billion. IBM, Internet, and Intel are lower. This was the winner at the last decade. But look at Toyota, Coca-Cola, and Boeing. Can you imagine that Boeing is nearly half Facebook, and Coca-Cola is nearly half Google? I mean, this is really where the global business is changing. Well, I wrote this in Arabic because I was a little bit shy, because the GDP of Egypt was only $300 billion. So I thought I'll write it in Arabic. Yeah. In terms of job creation, Google in 2007 was employing 16,000 employees. Now it is 54,000 employees. Also, I wrote in Arabic that the number of employees in the Egyptian post is equal to Google. Of course, the market value of the Egyptian post is different than Google. I mean, no need to say so. But this is show you how the employment is going. Facebook 150% in 2006, 9,000 now, and Microsoft, etc. This is where the business is going. And actually, without opening the environment and having an ecosystem that is for freedom of information, all those economy cannot work in Egypt or in other developing countries. And this is really a missed opportunity for economic growth if we ignore freedom of information. Well, respecting human rights and good governance, sustainable development, knowledge economy, and improving business climate definitely are necessities for Egypt. Within regional and national threats, from terrorism, transition to democracy is becoming a controversial term and is not a priority for many political players in Egypt. However, nearly everybody in Egypt can agree easily that they need to improve business climate, they need to move to knowledge economy, and they need to have sustainable development. Because without that, the economy is not going to work, we cannot survive. If we look at those five factors, I can see human rights and to a large extent good governance are a push factor. However, business climate, knowledge economy are a pull factor. Then where the stability or the equilibrium will end, this is a question for the future. But definitely there is push factor and pull factor. And how we can benefit from that to change the environment for freedom of information. Well, let me now talk about the opportunities in more specific terms. Opportunity number one is the data revolution. The term data revolution is now one of the terms that is very well established. And developments enabled by technology are shaping the ways the evidence is used to influence public opinion and policy. And we have now the term of open data and big data. Open data means that it aims at making high quality data collected by governments and NGOs accessible to citizens. The monopoly of government to collect data and to disseminate data, halas, ended. No more. There is a lot of data that will be generated, and it is now generated by NGOs, and they will be accessible for citizens, and they can be used for so many applications. Big data are what we call as statistician ill-structured. I mean, they are not really those nice tables, very structured, but they are ill-structured, and they are opportunistic data, because these data are derived for specific reasons. Rather than collecting data like census or surveys, etc., this is something very sporadic. Like, for example, if you can imagine how the data on location of mobile phones can be used in application for business, for control, for organizing the traffic, etc., it's endless. Cash phone payment, credit card usage, etc., now are being used more and more often for purposes unforeseen by the originator of the data. And of course, in the context of many countries, including Egypt, Uber, Harassmap, etc. I mean, all those applications, they have a lot of data that can be used and can generate social and economic indicators that are not under the control of the government or the statistical office. They are going to be free. They are going to be easy accessibility to it. And this is really a wealth for journalists. I don't think you will need any more to stop and to beg the statistical office to get to the data. I think we have other sources of data, but we need to be aware of it. And this is what we call data revolution. The second opportunity is the data visualization and data-driven journalism. There is a lot of data now that can be used for that purpose. And increasingly, journalists are making good use of rich data and are creating excellent data websites. An exciting range of visualization is being developed to allow users to explore large data sets and also to communicate the information to the readers or the viewership. And the whole knowledge landscape is being transformed. We are now entering a different era. And new sources of data are available. For example, semantic analysis of Twitter can give you a lot of knowledge. Familiar sources of data can be accessed and explored in new ways, visualization of census data, for example, via mobile device. I mean, you don't need computers, etc. I mean, everything is now computer. But there is a lot of opportunity to break the monopoly of it. Opportunity is crowdsourcing. And I think you can imagine how crowdsourcing is enriching our knowledge. But of course, every source has its limitation, and we have to understand the limitation of each source, not to generalize the data too much incorrectly. Opportunity number 4 for Egypt is the Article 68 of the Constitution. And actually, in this article, this is the wording of the article: information, data, statistics, and official documents are the property of the people. And disclosure thereof from their various sources is a right guaranteed by the state for all citizens. And the state is committed to provide and make them available to citizens in a transparent manner. Okay? But the article is useful. Yani it's something. Yani. But of course, the law shall regulate the rules for obtaining them and them and terms for their availability and confidentiality. But we will come to the law. But at least we have an umbrella that is very helpful for reach a good environment for information. And this is of course also they mentioned filing complaints against the refusal. The government cannot just refuse the request for data, but there is a complaint, there is a system for complaint. And there is penalties for withholding information or deliberately providing wrong information. But we have a very good opportunity in terms of the constitution, and we are waiting, of course, for the law that will translate this constitution to something positive. Why are you laughing? You are smiling there. How are you smiling? I'm not smiling. Okay, sorry. You are not smiling. Related to that, actually, we worked in a report. I will mention that later. But we worked on a report that was funded by the Arab Reform Initiative in Paris, and we were trying to make a sort of assessment of the baseline of information status in Egypt. It will be launched on the 24th of November in Cairo. You are welcome, of course, all of you to come to attend the launching. What we try to do is we try to sort of assess 7 important ministries that are providing data, and to see the part of the demand and supply, and to analyze the status in hoping that to make an assessment of the baseline for status of information in Egypt. That will be before issuing any law, and we can, of course, follow on that later after a few years. Now I'm going to move at the actors in information. And here I am sort of advocating for a role of civil society in generating and disseminating information within the ecosystem that I explained and within the change in technology that is happening. And the question are, can a non-governmental organization play a role in collecting and disseminating data? It can work in a business sector, but can it work for non-profit sectors? What is the business model? What is the sustainability formula? And whether there is trust in the data that is generated by NGOs or not. And I'm going to talk about my experience in the Egyptian Center for Public Opinion Research, Basira. And actually, we are supporting this cause through three activities. The first one is public opinion polls on political climate, and we are producing a number of regular public opinion polling on the approval rating of the president. We started with Mohamed Morsi when he was elected for the 12 months, and then we started again with Sisi so far. And we are not getting any fund for that. This is self-funded, and we are distributing that to the media equally for all the media outlets without any preference for any. And we conducted the approval rating of the president and the prime minister. We conducted also exit polls on elections. We have also data on the relationship between religion, politics, and gender. And we are producing as well reports on attitude towards current events. Our future activities include producing a corruption perception index that will be published on a yearly basis. And also we are going to have an approval rating for the parliament. The second product that we are producing is what we call Number of the Day. This is how we started. We started by, on a daily basis, we send an email to our list of subscribers. We started with 100 subscribers, and now we have 40,000 subscribers in our list that are receiving this number on a daily basis. It's just have one number and two statements that is addressing one of the issues that is, we see that it is important for the community. The purpose is to inform and empower citizens about an issue of relevance or to help public debates to be more evidence-based. These are examples of numbers that we produced over the last couple of years. For example, the issue of death penalty was very debated, and we reported the number of death penalties in 2012 and 2011, and we showed that there is an increase of 47%. Of course, when we have the numbers of 2013, we can report that and to see the trend. Another number, the number of people who go for Umrah, for example. We have 582,000 Egyptians who went to Umrah in 2012. This is also is raising an issue about the cost of Umrah and whether the Muslims should spend the money in this or maybe to put it in something else. In terms of financial inclusion, only less than 13% of the Egyptian males have bank account, and for females it is only 7%. So this is also reflecting some economic, and this number when it was published actually it raised a lot of debate in the government, and now they have a project for financial inclusion, and they start issuing cards for government employee that can be used as a credit card as well. Another number for accountability, we have always saying that the government should not spend its money in any irrational manner, and we found 41 number of advertisements published by ministries in the obituary page in Al-Ahram newspaper in the second half of February 2013, 41. And by the way, there is a decree by the Prime Minister to all officials that ministries should not allow to publish such. And they publish it in the newspaper. Yeah, and it's very, very clear that it is a violation. 41 obituary in 15 days only. And that was what we call al-azaa' al-nafqa al-dawla. We also published one important number that also raised a lot of debate. That was for the previous law of the parliament. We found that there is 18 seats allocated to one of the governorates in Egypt and 30 seats allocated to another governorate. The second governorate has less voters than the first one by 300,000. But that was a contradictory in the, just to pick those number and to just publish it, it created a bit. The last number was about population. We have 25% of the Egyptian living in rural urban, in rural Upper Egypt, 25%, but they are producing 41% of birth's yield. This is really sort of highly productive, highly reproductive segment of the population, 25% producing 41% of the birth. Actually, the service is now reaching 40,000 subscribers. It is in English and Arabic. And we have a second wave of 400,000 message that is produced as a second wave of this number. And this is now on SMS, attracting 80,000 Egyptians who are subscribing in that in the Arabic form. And we start getting support from donors to support this activity to ensure sustainability. The last thing is the one that I mentioned before, is the report on status of information. What we did, we analyzed the supply of information in seven ministries, and we analyzed the demand on information from stakeholders of those ministries, and then we analyzed the gap between supply and demand, and we put a number of recommendations, and we are going to launch that report on the 24th of November. To conclude, actually, what we have now is wide accessibility technology. We have an increasing demand on information. We have a spread of crowdsourcing. We have a creativity in developing application and out-of-the-box tools. And there is a use of different communication platform. And all of this will lead to a new environment where the government monopoly will end. And for producing and disseminating information, plus empowering citizens, plus lead the way to the democratic transition. Thank you very much.